Hello, creepies, and welcome to another middle-aged mini-episode on the Middle-Aged and Creeped Out podcast. Enjoy the show.
Hey, creepies, welcome to Middle-Aged Mini 154. Nate is your tech engineer, and we are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged and creeped out. What's going on, guys?
Having a great night?
We are.
Yes.
Yes. I like that. Yes. Strong yes. Nate with the strong yes.
Yes.
You knew right where he was coming. I mean, yes. There was no like, no, it was yes. Coming right at it. Strong. We are having a good night.
Mm-hmm.
Wound up. I like it. Sean.
Yes.
How about telling our creepies about our sponsor?
We have a new sponsor. So are you tired of an itchy, unruly beard? Want a beard that looks great, feels amazing, and smells masculine and sexy? Meet your new best friend, Cultured Creature Beard Balm. Cultured Creature Beard Balm is a game changer. Made with all natural ingredients like mango butter, shea butter, argan, avocado, jojoba, grape seed, and meadow foam seed oil, it nourishes your beard and skin beneath. Say goodbye to dryness and itchiness, and hello to a soft, well-groomed, and great-smelling beard. Not only does it tame your mane, but it also leaves a subtle, masculine scent with options like Cuban tobacco, sandalwood, and bourbon, cedar and leather, and more. Feel confident all day, whether at the office, on a date, or at the gym. It's easy to use. Just rub a small amount between your palms and work it into your beard. Simple and effective, and no mess. Cultured Creature Beard Balm is handmade, organic, and natural, made by a father-daughter duo with over 20 years of beard care experience. It's packed with vitamins and nutrients and zero additives or preservatives. Ready to transform your beard? Visit redefineyourwildside.com and use promo code MAKO10 for an extra 10% off your first order. Plus, all Culture Creature Beard Balm is already 20% off, so that's 30% off your first order. Cultured Creature Beard Balm, where nature meets nurture for the ultimate beard care experience. Don't tame your wild side, refine it with Cultured Creature Beard Balm.
Thank you, Sean, for that. Thank you for the sponsorship as well.
You're most welcome.
The Creatured Balm. What'd you call it? Orangutan.
It's a orangutan, baby. Yeah. He's a very cultured orangutan.
Cultured creature. That's beard right. Bomb. Yeah. Anyway, awesome. Sean?
Yes?
Tell the creepies, our lovely creepies, what we're going to talk about.
This is your pick. This is on Borley Rectory.
Nice.
And if you want to go to the show flow notes at the bottom, you can look at all the links and ways to check our references, let's be yes. honest, right?
Thank you for catching up.
You like that? No, that's all right. I ad-libbed it just only slightly. It is
great.
So the Borley Rectory was a house located in Borley, Essex, England, right? Mm-hmm. Jolly old England. Famous for being described as the most haunted house in England. Sure, right. By psychic researcher Harry Price. Built in 1862 to house the rector of the parish of Borley and his family. The house was badly damaged by fire in 1939 and demolished in 1944.
Wow. What do you think about that?
Status is demolished.
1862. So, let's get into this. Tradition states that a local monk began a secret affair with a nun from a nearby convent. Wow. I was going to say covenant.
Could have been.
After the affair was... convent. After the affair was discovered by their superiors, the lovers were brutally punished. The monk was swiftly executed, but the nun suffered a far worse fate, being bricked up in the convent walls and left to suffocate and die. Mm. That's pretty bad.
Wow.
Relievedly, for the monk and nun, the story in the monastery seemed to be little more than local legend with no historical basis at all. Namely, no religious orders were harmed in the making of this ghost story. But... despite the monk and the nun story proven to be false, the tale of the murdered lovers would form the basis of many future investigations, reports, and paranormal claims. So that is kind of a fake or a legend, you know, but there are other stories.
Yeah, the first reported paranormal activities occurred in 1863. A few locals later remembered having heard unexplained footsteps within the house at about that time.
Would you say 1863?
Mm-hmm.
Nice. In 1900, another group of children claimed to have seen the ghost of a nun in the rectory's grounds that disappeared as soon as they approached. A deliciously consistent as these reports may have been at face value, it is now generally considered that the first rector's children concocted the first report based on the physically imposing appearance of the house. And they show, this is the drawing room in Borley Rectory, circa 1890. Kind of a cool old picture.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That is cool.
Yeah. Anyway, what you got, Sean?
You're talking about the monk and the nun. That supposedly happened in 1362. And this, like you're just saying, the legend, it says, was debunked in 1938, as it was confirmed that there are no historical basis known and could have been fabricated by the rector's children to romanticize the rectory. The story of the walling up of the nun may have come from writer Haggard's novel, Montezuma's Daughter, in 1893, or Walter Scott's epic poem, Marimonian, in 1808.
Hmm.
So who knows? It sounds better though to say that it was absolutely 100% ironclad.
Absolutely
true. That's what I'm going with. Ironclad.
I like that.
Various people claim to have witnessed a variety of puzzling incidents, such as phantom coach driven by two headless horsemen.
Oh, I love
that's
that.
That's cool.
And, during the next four decades, well, they saw the headless horseman for the next four decades.
No.
Let's see. Then after Harry Bowles' death in 1927.
No, it was Harry Bowles.
I know.
Harry Bowles.
Okay.
It's like you're reading my mind.
I just wanted to make sure.
Yeah, like the bull horn. Okay. Horn, bull. Okay. Yeah.
Harry Bowles.
Not a basketball. Borley Rectory became vacant the following year on the 2nd of October. Reverend Guy Eric Smith and his wife moved into the house. Soon after moving in, Smith's wife, while cleaning out a cupboard, reportedly came across a brown paper package containing the skull of a young woman. Shortly after, the family reported a variety of incidences, including the sounds of servant bells ringing despite being disconnected, lights appearing in the windows, and unexplained footsteps. In addition, Smith's wife believed she saw a horse-drawn carriage at night.
I like that. That's creepy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just want to make sure Harry Bowles.
Harry Bowles.
Okay. Sorry. I'm middle school and creeped out.
I've done all that.
Yeah. So this place is cool. Or was, I guess.
It was, yeah.
Since it's
demolished,
longer,
right?
Yeah. I got a story here. Said this guy, his name was Mr. Russell. I can't find the beginning of it. Well, anyway, basically. Russell Old was just 17 when he first stepped foot onto the haunted grounds of Borley Rectory. He had no idea of the things he would witness on that day 20 years ago and how it would impact the rest of his life. Russell was stood on the grounds of the most haunted house in England in the rural village of Borley, northwest of Colchester. The location is where tales of, like we said, ghostly nuns, mysterious voices, and visions of an eerie coach and horses had been spotted over the decades. It was on that cold day at the beginning of the century that Russell spotted the figure of a young boy dressed in Victorian clothing. His quote is saying, "It all started one day when my uncle asked if I had ever heard of Borley Rectory, which is the most haunted place in England," Russell explained. "So we went up there for the day, and I brought a couple of mates. As we were driving down the road, you could just felt your arm hair stick up. I know I was near it. We drove up to the church, and there is a little turning. You can just sit in front of it. I just remember turning my head and looking towards it and seeing a little boy." He added, "I can remember it so well. The little boy looked Victorian. He was wearing his tweed jacket, and I could see it so clearly. I looked to my uncle, and I said, 'Can we go? I don't want to be here.' And they had no idea. I said, Did you not see it? But that wasn't the only thing that happened that fateful night. After returning to the site later that same evening, even more bizarre things started to happen. So we drove back through in the evening, and all of a sudden, there was a massive thump on the side of the car, the 37-year-old remembered. At that point, we had to stop the car in case we hit something, but there was nothing. We were panicking, looking around at all the bushes, and there was nothing there. Everyone was really on edge. So we got back in the car, and as we approached a turning, my uncle stopped the car. We said, "Why have you stopped?" He says, to let the car go past, but there was no car. He had seen headlights coming towards him, but there was nothing there.
Hmm.
That's a heck of a story.
That is.
Isn't that something?
This says, the Smiths contacted the Daily Mirror newspaper asking to be put in touch with the Society for Psychical Research, we've talked about before, the SPR. On the 10th of June, 1929, the newspaper sent a reporter who promptly wrote the first in a series of articles detailing the mysteries of Borley Rectory. The paper also arranged for Harry Price, a paranormal researcher, to make his first visit to the house. He arrived on the 12th of June, and immediately phenomena of a new kind appeared, such as the throwing of stones, a vase, and other objects. Spirit, quote-unquote, spirit messages were tapped out from the frame of a mirror as soon as Price left. These occurrences ceased. Smith's wife later maintained that the suspected Price, an expert conjurer of falsifying the phenomenon, says the Smiths left Borley on the 14th of July in 1929. The parish had some difficulty in finding a replacement. On October 16th, 1930, the Reverend Lionel Algernon Foster, he was the first cousin of the Bowles, and his wife, Marion, moved into the house, along with their adopted daughter, Adelaide Foster. Foster wrote an account of the various strange incidents that occurred between the time his family moved in October 1934, which was sent to Price. These included bell ringing, so the servants' bells ringing by themselves, even though they were disconnected, window shattering, the throwing of stones and bottles, wall writing, and locking of Adelaide in a room with no key. Marion reported to her husband a whole range of poltergeist phenomenon that included her being thrown from her bed. On one occasion, Adelaide was attacked by something horrible. Foster tried twice to conduct an exorcism, but his efforts were fruitless. In the middle of the first exorcism, he was struck in the shoulder by a fist-sized stone. Isn't that crazy? Yeah.
Well, they also witnessed a red glass candlestick fly past their heads, mm-hmm, and shatter against an iron stove when Mr. Price, interesting.
And of course they say that some of this was perpetrated by some of the researchers and by the mister. I don't know. Who knows?
Yeah. Yeah, Price is a well-known investigator. I've heard his name before.
Yeah. The wife said, apparently admitted later that she was having a sexual relationship with a lodger named Frank Peerless, and that she used paranormal explanations to cover up her liaison so that she'd be I'm going to go do some paranormal investigating. And she was not doing paranormal investigating.
Mm.
She was investigating Frank Peerless, apparently, in a different way.
What's up?
Keep it clean, Sean. I know.
No, it's all right.
Mm-hmm.
What you got, Nate? You got anything on this Borley Rectory?
I've just been reading through some stuff, mainly Price's investigation. Looks like in 1938, Helen Glanville, one of Price's helpers, conducted a planchette session, seance, in London. And Price reported that she made contact with two spirits, first of which was of a young nun who identified herself as Mary Larry. Hmm. And according to the planchette story, Mary was a French nun who left her religious order and traveled to England to marry a member of the Waldengrave family. She was said to have been murdered in an older building on the site of the Borley Rectory. And her body was either buried in the cellar or thrown into a disused well.
Mm, that sounds awful.
The wall writings were alleged to be her pleas for help. One read, "Marianne, please help. Get me out."
Mm. Oh, gosh.
Cry for help is all I need.
So, yeah. The second spirit to be contacted identified himself as, let's see, Sunix Amiris, and claimed that he would set fire to the Borley Rectory at 9 o'clock that night, the 27th of March, 1938. And also said that at the time, the bones of a murdered person would be revealed.
Wow. Bones, you say?
Yep. Bones.
Excellent story.
And the fire actually occurred on the 27th of February, 1939.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
So almost a year later.
Mm-hmm. So it was around for about 76, 77 years. If I did my math right. Yeah. Ghostly activity at the Borley has been reported, as we said, since 1819, and of course with the nun allegedly sighted in 1836. But from 1863, Reverend Henry Dawson Bull lived there with his family and were frequently disturbed by spooky incidents, such as rushing water in the house where there was no mains or interior pipes. We talked about bells ringing with no explanations and the sound of heavy footsteps around the empty building. Terrifyingly, many of the cases centered around the daughter Ethel, who one night reported being slapped across the face as she lay in bed. After the first Henry Bull passed away in 1892, Henry Foister Bull took over the residence, as you said, Sean, in 1927, said there was one instance when he was out in the garden and his dog started to howl and cower at something behind the trees. Bull spotted among the trees a pair of legs, but as they moved away, he saw the body appeared headless.
Oh, that's weird.
Completely headless. He said it crossed the garden and walked through the locked gate. So, couldn't explain that.
That's spooky.
Yeah. Too bad we can't go there, because I'd say put it on the list. But
yeah. Well, it's there. It's just not there where
right.
where it used to be.
Yeah. The grounds are there, right?
Yeah, that's right. And it is, it's a pretty much picturesque, if I could say it right. Picturesque. I am still strangling the English language as we speak.
I understand.
But it basically looks like your run-of-the-mill English town. They have had a couple films based on that. In 2017, the part-animated film Borley Rectory, the most haunted house in England, was released. It was written and directed by Ashley Thorpe and starred Reese Shearsmith and Jonathan Rigsby. In 2021, the feature film The Ghosts of Borley Rectory was released. It was written and directed by Stephen M. Smith and starred Julian Sands, Toya Wilcox, Colin Baker, and Christopher Ellison. So they've had it's had a couple of silver screen, I guess, you know, films. I'd never heard of Borley Rectory that I can remember, honestly. Have you guys ever heard of it before?
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
If I had, I didn't know anything about it, basically. So.
Right. Yeah. I'd like to go. Man, I'd love to go to England.
Oh, heck yeah.
All the different places they have. You know, their history is obviously a lot older than ours, but, I mean, centuries and centuries. We're about
to go to London, head over to Essex, right?
Yeah. Seems like that's a great area for creepiness. Because I could be wrong, and so I don't yell at me through the when you listen to this creepies. Isn't the, they made The Conjuring 2 about it, where the little girl got, the single mom and her three or four kids. I am drawing a blank. It's the little flat that they
Enfield
had.
Poltergeist.
Yes, thank you. Mm-hmm. Enfield Poltergeist. I think that's in Essex.
Mm-hmm. I think so.
I hope I'm not butchering that. Regardless, we know that England has got all kinds of, I mean, you know, castles and houses and all the different. I'll finish this up. You guys have anything else?
It is in
I could be wrong.
Brimsden, England.
But there's no Essex.
London.
Nothing about Essex.
Mm-mm.
Okay. I apologize.
England. No, and I couldn't remember either, so yeah, I was trying to
sorry.
Think, no, don't be sorry.
No, I was really trying to make it up, actually. No. This guy says or Russell. He says, my theory is it's had so much history in the past that the energies have just lived there. Even though they're all sad stories, I do believe those energies are happy there, to stay. There's no science to any of it. It's all theorizing, and it's in your gut. When you get there, you just know you are somewhere special. You get a real sense in there. If you go past the church, you would feel goosebumps and feel something. So I think there's something to it. Now, what like I said, that I guess the nun and the monk story was made up, but still, all these other stories supposedly aren't.
So yeah.
Something, you know, who knows?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that's the Borley Rectory.
Yeah, that infield is Brimsdown, Infield, London, England.
Okay.
So it's in like an area of an area of London,
okay,
England.
That's, for some reason, I thought Essex was a part of it. No. So, although I know Essex has been part of other stories. But
well, if that's
I
stand, want it to be,
I stand,
it can be.
That's right.
I stand correct.
Yeah, that's okay.
Man, I tell you what.
I get no respect. No respect at all.
That was fun. That's a good little story there. You know, a lot of creepiness, a lot of history. Nate?
Mm-hmm.
Help us out, man.
Well, I wish we could go there and see it, but it's no longer there. Just like this episode.
It's no longer here.
That's a wrap.
Wow, that was really... I was wondering where he was going with it.
Stretch!
That was good. But he pulled it out. Thank you, Nate. And, of course, we want to thank you, Creepies, for listening to our Middle Age Mini 154 and our discussion on the Borley Rectory in Essex, England. And until next time, we'll talk to you later.
Bye.
See you.